Just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant.
But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes.
So anytime you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant. Once there was a silly old ram, thought he'd punch a hole in a dam. No one could make that ram scram. He kept butting that dam, 'cause he had high hopes. He had high hopes.
Come fly with me, let's fly, let's fly.
Welcome to the Gathering Offering. My name is Jerry Kirk, and the Lord's time, this is the 111th Jubilee, the third week, the fifth year, the sixth month, and the third day. And I hope everybody enjoyed their first day of the month, which occurred on Tuesday afternoon through Wednesday at 12. In pagan terms, this is August 5th, 2010. This is what I'm calling Appendix Number 5 to the Gathering Offering. I offer blessings to those with eyes and ears, and I may not have been clear enough to those that have eyes and ears that are in the process of opening and listening. As always, I have a responsibility and a duty to accomplish at the beginning of each of these offerings. So I shall begin. Our Father who art in heaven, I praise and I bless you as I praise and bless your only begotten Son, the Christ. Father, I am here today to complain to you. I am here to complain to you about the fact that I am an attempting servant. I am here to recognize that an attempting servant needs to be whopped in the butt and hit in the head with a pine stick, and on occasion, and in my case, many occasions. I am here to complain, Father, about my performance. My performance about trying to get those with eyes and ears that are opening to get on the phone and to get on the internet and to take an adversarial position with those individuals on all levels of media that are not following your laws, that are clearly violating known subjects. We, Father, cannot proceed until all of us take the adversarial position against your enemies. I complain, Father, about my performance. I expect you to hit me with a pine stick and whop me in the butt also. Hit me in the head, hit me in the butt, wherever you want. I need the help and I need your assistance. Help me to do a better job, because obviously I have been doing not so good lately. Father, I praise you and I bless you as I praise and bless your only begotten Son. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope that y'all heard that prayer of mine, and I'm sincere about it. I don't know exactly how to get people on the phone and have at it with these hosts and guests on the so-called alternative media. I do not know how to do this. I do not know how to make each of you understand that you must stand up and you must bear your cross and that you are going to be persecuted and people are going to go after you. But until we stand up and point out to our brothers and sisters that are in error, that they need to change their ways And this material that's being offered to you is for your information to go verify and then have a sword in your hand. Have you ever heard that the pen is mightier than the sword? That's what we're doing, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we're doing, is opening people's eyes and ears so they can get at the truth and then use that truth as the sword. We do not need to be violent, because the Christ is coming back in a short period of time. I don't know exactly when. And he's going to have 200,000 of what I'm going to call his kick-ass warrior angels. And they're going to take care of business. But in the meantime, if we don't get our people that have eyes and ears that are opening to wake up, guess what? The Christ doesn't want to come back. He wants to come back to some people that are ready to do business. Remember in the New Testament, the Christ says, you know, if this was my kingdom, my servants would fight for me. Have we been fighting for him? He's waiting for us to stand up and get going. I want to read to you out of the book of Enoch, chapter 89, verse 35. And to this were brought the blind sheep, which were being judged and found guilty, were all thrust into that abyss of fire on the earth and burnt. Now, how about that? Now, sheep, all sheep have eyes and ears, but apparently some of them don't want to open their eyes and look, perceive. Some of them don't want to open up their ears and listen and act. That's what I'm trying to talk to you about a little bit today. Now, I'm going to read another part of that verse again. And found guilty were all thrust into that abyss of fire on the earth and burnt. You got any wonders where the abyss of fire is? It's called the center of earth. Some people call it the lake of fire. Some people call it hell. Now, if you're not real sure about that, I'll move back up to verse 33. They thrust them into a place deep and full of flaming fire and full of pillars of fire. Then the 70 shepherds were judged, and being found guilty, were thrust into the flaming abyss. Well, let's see, 33 to 35, it tells you where the abyss is, on the earth. You get to go to the center of the earth. You don't open your eyes. Don't start becoming adversarial. Now, those aren't my words, that's what it is. So start waking up. Start picking up your own pine stick. Start calling people up on the phone. Daily, weekly, I hear host and guest host on various alternative medias, and they all making the same damn stupid mistakes. Now, that doesn't mean they're all necessarily evil, but they aren't getting any help from y'all. Y'all got to help them. And until you do, the Christ is sitting up there twiddling his thumb saying, look at those dumb idiots. They will not become adversarial and stand up for me. Adversarial means adversarial against his enemies. I'm going to move into two subjects today, if I can. See if we can get them down a little bit. The very first mention of the word Gentiles is in Genesis chapter 10, verse 5. And I'm going to read to you. The sons of Japheth, Gomer and Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tyrus. And the sons of Gomer, Ashkenazi, Ripeth, Togarth. And the sons of Javan, Elisha, Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodin. Can't even pronounce these words. Verse 5. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families, in their nations. Now, somewhere along the road, you're supposed to figure out that Gomer and Magog and Javan and Tubal and Ashkenazi and Tarshish and Kittim are all bad guys. All you have to do is look up those names and your strong stains, and read the verses where those names occur, and you'll see they're all the enemy of Israel. and they're called Gentiles, right then, there, first time. The second thing that occurs in the Old Testament is we move over to Genesis chapter 25, verse 1. And in it, it says, Then Abraham, I correct the name, took a wife, and her name was Keturah. Verse 2, and she bare him Zimran, and Jokeshan, Midian, and Ishbak, and Shulam. Now, it never says that those are Gentiles right there. Again, you're supposed to go look up those names. You're supposed to read those verses of what those guys are. And you will find out very quickly that Keturah was actually a Canaanite. Oh, really? Abraham married a Canaanite. Yeah. But if you do not look these names up, if you do not search this out, you're not going to figure it out. You're going to be standing on mush. You're going to be standing there saying, well, Jerry Kirk said it. Well, that doesn't count. What counts is what you go do your due diligence and verify that Jerry Kirk's not BSing you. You don't take anybody's word for anything except for the Christ. My job is to just save you a little time and point you to the right areas, and then you do your work. Now let's take a look here in Jubilees, chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. And all the seed of his other sons, we're talking about Abraham, and if you're not clear about that, go back to verse 12 in chapter 16 of the book of Jubilees. And all the seed of his other sons will become Gentiles and will be numbered with the Gentiles. But for the sons of Isaac, one shall become a holy seed and shall not be numbered among the Gentiles. So what are we talking about here today? We're talking about Gentiles, aren't we? We're trying to see if anybody wants to get something, one simple thing, squared away in their mind called Gentiles. And who's who? Now let's see if we go to 1 Esdras, chapter 8, verse 69. And you'll have to, pardon me, I have to move books and go to a different thing so I can read it. 1 Esdras, chapter 8, verse 69. The nation of Israel, the princes, the priests, and the Levites, have not put away from them the strange people of the land, nor the pollutions of the Gentiles, to wit, of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Pharisites, the Jebusites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Edomites. Are we getting just a little bit clear who Gentiles are? And we still haven't gotten to the point of the exercise, because actually I could do a lot more than this, but I wanted to keep it a little bit where people could follow along and not overwhelm them too much. So now let's take a look, and let's go up to the old guy Jeremiah. And let's look in chapter 4, verse 7 of the book of Jeremiah. Now, I realize that y'all haven't got all these books open and that you're not able to read right along with me right now, but that's why there's archives on First Amendment that I paid for. And I'm not that big guy or anything like that. They're paid for. And you can listen to them. And if you don't like that, you can go to freedom-school.com to the link to my name, Jerry Kirk, and you can listen to these archives. And then you can take notes, and you can go read all this stuff, and you can see that I'm not making this up. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 7. The lion is come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He is gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy city shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. Wow! How about that? That lion, like, you know, talking about the Christ coming back, and he's going to destroy the Gentiles. Anybody kind of wanting to say, man, I don't really think I want to be a Gentile this week or next month or next year. And oh my God, how many years did I allow some preacher to call me a Gentile? How did I get suckered into that? It's called deception. Happened to a lot of us. The whole trick is to repent and learn and to help other people out. Now we move to Matthew, chapter 10, verse 18. And ye, that's you and I, shall be brought forth before governors and kings for my sake, that's the Christ, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. That's them Jebusites, them Canaanites, Edomites, Hittite, Hivites, Moabites, Amorites, a whole bunch of them listed there that just because Ezra didn't give them all, go look them all up. There's actually a lot more than what Ezra gave you there. Wow. You're going to be given up for a testimony for him. Is that called picking up your cross and following him? And how does this happen? This happens because through the process of standing up and reaching out to your brothers and sisters, and taking the bull by the horns, then people are going to come back and persecute you. They're going to say, oh my God, look at him. He's trying to tell the truth. But you know what? We're going to overcome. We're going to whip their asses in the latter days because it says that all through the Word of God. It's pretty interesting. We get to fight all the big bad guys all at one time. They're all here. We don't just get 10% or 25% or 50%. We get 100% of them. We get the Super Bowl of Super Bowls of Super Bowls. We get the best adventure that's ever been on this planet since Adam. And we're going to do it. But you, each and every one of you, have to start standing up and become adversarial with anybody that is speaking incorrectly about a subject. Now we move on to Matthew chapter 18, verse 17. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Now, some folks might be confused about this word heathen man. So in that particular case, I would offer you to go to the Septuagint Bible by Brenton, which is on the list of books that I say, hey, you ought to have these for study, and I don't sell them. And go to Amos chapter 9, verse 12, and see that in that Greek translation, heathen is placed with the word Gentile. Now, all you have to do is go to the King James, exact Amos, chapter 9, verse 12, and you'll see it says heathen. And go to the Septuagint and see heathen's Gentiles. Not real hard, but you got to look it up yourself. Don't take my word. If you just take my word, you're standing on mush. You got to look it up yourself. Get on granite. That's the whole exercise of two subjects today. Get on granite. Do your homework. Read it yourself. Don't take my word. When you read it yourself, you're going to say, golly, I know this. I've got it. I'm on granite. Now you got some confidence. With confidence, you'll have competence. Matthew, chapter 20, verse 19. And shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. That he is the Christ, the only begotten Son of the Father. And he's going to be delivered to the Gentiles to mock, to scourge, to crucify. And then on the third day, he'll rise again. Are we getting a little bit clearer, possibly, as to who Gentiles are? They're the killers of the Christ. Shouldn't that have just a little bit of effect on you when people have said, you're a Gentile? Have you heard preachers say, well, all of us Gentiles are grafted in. Yet Jeremiah says that the lion is going to destroy all the Gentiles. Going to lay waste all their cities. Anybody having a little bit of wondering about this business here? Now let's take a look at one of the real guys that everybody loves to preach from. I'm in Romans chapter 11, verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Now that's your good Paul boy, Malchus, of the house of Saul. He's a Saulite. Saul was head and shoulders above any man. Kind of like, you know, one of them Goliath types. How about that? I am the apostle to the Gentiles. Now, I want you to cue on this a second. When your preacher stands and says he's grafting in, and you're being grafted in because you're a Gentile, how about that? Your preacher is calling you a Canaanite, a Jebusite, a Hittite. And when your preacher preaches to you from Paul, guess what's happening? You're sitting there saying, yeah, I'm a Gentile. I'm a Canaanite. I'm a Jebusite because the apostle to the Gentiles, he's talking to me. Well, let's see if this guy does it again. Let's take a look over here at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. And here we have Paul talking again. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Wow, how about that? You've been clearly defined what a Gentile is in the first, or in the last 15 minutes here. And here's Paul, twice. Telling you, he's the teacher of the Gentiles. So when you let somebody sit there and quote Romans or Hebrews or Timothy or Colossians or Acts or any one of the other heathen Gentile books to you, guess what happened? You're sitting there saying, yeah, I'm happy being a Canaanite. I'm happy to have the lion come out of his thicket and destroy me. Because guess what? I didn't have the balls. I didn't have the background to stand up and say, hey, preacher, you need to learn this, preacher. Because, preacher, you might be a good guy. But, preacher, you don't know your butt from a hole in the ground, preacher. Or host on another radio show. Or guest on another radio show. I'm sorry, you're my brother and my sister. But you don't know your butt from a hole in the ground. Why don't you listen to Appendix number 5 of the Gathering Offering? Why don't you take and go back to Weeks 2 and 3 of the Gathering Offering? Why don't you learn, preacher? Are you so arrogant that you can't say, yeah, I made a mistake for the last 30 or 40 years, Mr. Preacher? Is your ego so damn big, Mr. Preacher? Mr. Host on a radio show? Now, here it gets kind of cute. I think this one's kind of cute here. We go to 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 16. And again, here we go. This is Paul talking. Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins away. for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. Now, how in the world is Paul telling everybody that where they're forbidden to speak to Gentiles, but yet he's telling you he's the teacher and apostle to the Gentiles? Is any of this starting to click in your head? Are we talking about a sophisticate? Is something very sophisticated in this? Is it sort of like, wowie, he's an apostle, he's a teacher, he's a preacher to the Gentiles, but now we're told in 1 Thessalonians that he and nobody else ought to talk to Gentiles. Are you out there talking to Gentiles? Paul says you can't, but he can talk to them. He's their preacher. He's their teacher. He's their apostle. Is something sophisticated happening here? Is that possible? Is it possible that maybe in the second half hour we may need to think about the word sophisticated? Because I try never to be sophisticated. I think that anybody that says they're sophisticated is a walking, talking, lying machine. And in the second part of this program, I'm going to try and prove to you sophistication and whether or not you want anything to do with it. My name is Jerry Kirk. This is the Gathering Offering. And I offer blessings to those with eyes and ears. And specifically, blessings to those with eyes and ears that are opening their eyes and ears. Those that want to get on some granite and study out a subject and get it pretty dead gum nailed down so that you got the confidence to improve your competence. And when you've got that, then you're going to pick up your cross and you become adversarial and you're going to start kicking some ass. And it's up to us to start. Until we return to the Father and His laws, the Christ is going to sit up there and say, hey, they enjoy getting their butts kicked. They love getting their butts kicked. I'll let them sit down there until they decide they're tired to getting their butts kicked. And that's what's going on across this country. You got a bunch of sophisticated people out there. Patriots for profit telling you how to use this form and this statute and this procedure. You know, like cracking the code, and then he goes to jail after selling how many tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of books, and, you know, he didn't even know what document 6209 was. Sounded like a nice guy, but just didn't seem to know that hole in the ground from that hole on his anatomy. Sophisticated. Get out of the procedure. Get out of the rules. Get out of the regulations of man. Pick up the rules, the laws, the regulations of the Father. See you after the break. Thank you.
Problems just a toy balloon. They'll be bursting soon. They're just bound to go pop.
Oops, there goes another problem kerplop.
Oops, there goes another problem kerplop.
Oops, there goes another problem kerplop.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
I just talked with one of these elite the other day, and he told me the latest of everything the elite have planned for the world for the next 2 years.
Shocking. This DVD, Tragedy, Hope, and Reality, the latest title by Lindsay Williams. Our production team at First Amendment Radio has condensed Lindsay's three DVD set down to a single DVD presentation.
So I'm going to tell you right now, up front, everything that I feel will impact your life in a major way in the next 24 months.
2.5 hours of the most important details of what the elite had planned for America and the world.
Within 2 years, he said, you will not recognize the United States of America.
Will you be ready?
And here is the part that startled me more about anything that he said. He said, war is planned. And he told me where it's going to be.
Will you even believe it?
gasoline will remain the price it is right now until we have war. You're going to be paying $4 to $10 a gallon overnight.
First, you must see it. Two copies, one for you and one for you to give away when you send a support donation of $20 to First Amendment Radio. Use the chip-in event on our website or send $20 cash to First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare, T-U-L-A-R-E, Tulare Avenue, Tulare, California, 93274. 139 East Tulare, T-U-L-A-R-E, Tulare Avenue, Tulare, California, 93274. Make copies and give them away. A wise man sees trouble coming and prepares for it. Tragedy, hope, reality. Hi, Nicholas here. I used to lug those big jugs to the market to fill with water from those coin-operated filter machines, 25 cents a gallon or 5 gallons for a buck. I used to. Then I got the big Berkey. Now I save my back and hundreds of dollars, too. I was paying $600 for the same 3,000 gallons of water that a pair of black Berkey filters will provide from my own tap for only $99. This means that your Berkey water system will entirely pay for itself with only 1,500 gallons of use, and then you will still have 1,500 gallons left before you need to replace the filters. Do the math. Stop throwing your money away on bottled water and filter dispensers that may or may not be delivering as promised. For a limited time, First Amendment Radio is offering 10% off on the most popular Berkey water systems. Visit the shopping page at firstamendmentradio.com or call us at 559-781-3773 for more information. Leave your name and address and we'll send you this special offer. Do it now. First Amendment Radio is an authorized distributor of Berkey products.
Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide, starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so very near, you might even hear a whole gang of cheers just because we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a cuckoo day. You just say those words and we'll take our birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's so perfect for a flying honeymoon. Oh, babe, come fly with me. Let's fly, let's fly.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jerry Kirk, and this is the Gathering Offering, and I always offer blessings to those with eyes and ears that are in the process of opening them and getting them jacked up wide and jacked open, because that's what it takes. We're going to have a conference call tonight. That phone number is 712-432-0075. You'll need this access code number, 715-718, push pound sign. May not have many more of them. This may be the last one, so get it while it's good. All right, now, I also need to mention one more time that the materials, the audio for this is available at freedom-school.com. Go to the link, Jerry F. Kirk. I have also been made aware that there's a number of other individuals that have websites that have put up these archives. And I appreciate each and every one of those folks, and I don't have the time or the wherewithal to list the various names of those folks. But I do appreciate those folks doing it and sharing that with the people that come to their websites. And they are doing a beginning, but they are still got to get and use their own voice, their own tongue, their member in their mouth, and they've got to start vocalizing. Okay, now we're going to talk about sophisticated. Sophisticated, characterized by a lack of simplicity or naturalness, refined to the point of artificiality. Wow, I'm not understanding that exactly very well. Now, a sophisticate in the noun, one who is sophisticated. I don't understand that too much. Now, as a verb, sophisticate, to practice sophistry, to be sophistical. Well, I'm not sure I really understand that exactly myself right now. So let's see. What is that root word? Sophism. S-O-P-H-I-S-M. That's where all that comes from. A clever or cunning contrivance, a trick, a quibble such as the sophist used, a sophism, to play the sophist, a fallacious argument, an argument that is not supported by sound reasoning or in which the inference is not justly deduced from the premises, a fallacy, whether or not intended to deceive. Also, an ingenious statement, an arrangement of propositions devised for the purpose of misleading. Wow, how about that? Wow, how about that? Now, I'm starting to get that a little bit. Let's see. Let's try sophisticate one more time. To make sophistical, to involve, or obscure in sophistry. Okay, let's see. They're kind of obscuring something. To mislead by fallacious arguments. To delude. Three. To adulterate. To render spurious by admixture. As to sophisticate liquors. Number four. To change the meaning of a document. By interpolation or elimination. To falsify. Wow, I wonder if people are talking about a certain document that was actually false at the beginning, but it's even made more false, and they're always arguing about the Constitution. Fraud at the beginning become more and more fraud, and they're always arguing about a republic which never existed, like in the time of Rome. They're always arguing about return to the republic. Well, never in the history of Rome did they ever have a republic, but it was the great argument. To deprive of naturalness. To render artificial. Six, to make worldly as a person. Wow, or to deprive of simplicity as a novel or a play. To make worldly as a person. Wow, about that? The government kind of made everybody worldly. Ever hear me talk about I'm not a person? Did you know that the word resident never occurs in the Word of God? Resident never occurs. Look at them Strongsteins. Never occurs. So, that's a sophisticate. That's sophism, S-O-P-H-I-S-M. And there's like 12 to 13 other types of things that you can look into. Now, why would I bring that up? Do you possibly think that Paul and his buddies used some code words in their books? Because you've got something called theosophism. T-H-E-O-S-O-P-H-Y. Theosophy. Now, why? How about that? Any of the various philosophies or religious systems that propose to establish direct contact with divine principle through contemplation, revelation, etc., and to gain thereby a spiritual insight superior to empirical knowledge. Wow! Let's see, Paul's always talking about let the Spirit come in you. And he comes up with all these weird ideas of what the Spirit can do for you. And the Christ says, I shall send you the Comforter, and he'll bring you a remembrance of all my words. Now, if the Spirit came into Paul, how come he didn't remember the words of Jeremiah that said the lion is going to come out and devour the Gentiles? How come Paul didn't understand all the way through the Gentiles are the Canaanites, the ones that crucified the Christ? Well, he really didn't want to tell y'all that, you know, hey, his daddy was the guy that actually was in charge of the crucifying, Caiaphas.
He had to have a way to cover that up, a little sophisticated, you know, and hey, man, we'll just go the other route.
Theosophy. The doctrines and beliefs of a modern sect of this nature that incorporates elements of Buddhism and Brahmaism. Wow, now we're actually getting a little closer, believe it or not. But a lot of people, they're not ready for that. They're not really ready to hear about King Ahsoka. They're not really ready to hear about his doctrines, about his thousands and thousands of statues and plaques that were put all across the Asia. And it's called Dharmaism. They don't want you to know that word, Dharmaism. They don't want you to get a good understanding of Dharmaism, because the master of it, since the time of Christ, has been Paul. Well, actually, it's been Paul and his buddy. So, do they use any code words? Theophilus. Theophilus. Now, when you can look it up strong, it'll tell you some guy from a Thessalonian. Some from Thessalonians. An inhabitant of that. That's what it'll tell you in strong. But that's really a code word. If you look in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, you'll see that word. And, golly gee, you'll find it in Luke chapter 1, verse 3. But you got to have one other word that goes with it. You got to have Sosthenes, which is also Sopater, which is also Sosthapater. Now, you're going to have to look those words up. I got the book and the chapters and the verses. You're going to have to look them up. You're going to have to study those words. You're going to have to go back to Theosophy. You're going to have to go back to Sophisticate. You're going to have to see if you can see that this is code words that these guys were putting in there. You might need to do a little bit of reading about Marcion and his Theosophistry. Yeah. They've been doing it a long time to us, ladies and gentlemen. And when you read Paul, read how he'll tell you, do this, and about like a chapter later, he'll tell you the exact opposite. And then he'll spin off. There are certain verses of Paul's, I swear to goodness, I read them two or three times, and I haven't got a clue what he's talking about. It sounds full of glittering generalities, and I hear preachers preach from it, and I've actually gone to some churches back in the early 90s. I wanted to go watch people and go to these Baptist church and Methodist church and Presbyterian churches, and I wanted to watch people's faces when the preachers preached Paul. And the people are out there, you know, I look in the audience, and they didn't have a clue what the preacher was saying, but it sure sounded good. Glittering generalities. Glittering generalities. And when you hear glittering generalities, that's all these feel-good things. Never make a statement, though. Never come to a conclusion. Just let it be left in the individual's head as to what they want to think is good. Let them make up their own mind. They didn't read it. They're not educated. They'll come up with ice cream and cake. They always do. They don't want to look at, man, this might be some mean-ass bear that's getting ready to bite me in the butt. People don't think that way. But I do. I have all my life. I don't know why. But all my life, I'm always wondering, where's that bear? In Florida, there's a saying. If you think everything's going absolutely fine and dandy and ducky, look behind you. There's an alligator getting ready to bite you right in the butt. When I heard that, I said, you know, that kind of fits me a little bit. Seems like a lot of times in my life when I think I got it hunky-dory, seems like a big-toothed alligator comes and clamps down on my tuchus. You got to be thinking. You got to be not listening to glittering generalities. Y'all hear about something out there called Restore America. You listen to them people? Glittering generality after glittering generality. Now, the first question should be, restore America to what? I mean, I want you to point out to me a 20-year period in the history of the United States of America. America, we'll call it. Point out to me a 20-year period of time where this country was not planning the murder of somebody else for economic purposes, getting ready to start wars, to kill our children, send them off to war. Hey, the glory of the Republic. And the thing that really pisses me off the most is what they do to our veterans. These poor kids, you know, 17 to 25, 26, 27, they go out there and they ain't got no common sense. They just know God and country. That's what they told me, God and country. And they go out there and they give their lives, their blood, their arms, their legs. And they come back, and then what does the government do? It pours piss on their head. Never takes care of them. Doesn't do a damn thing for them kids. And then you got the idiots up there that, you know, hey, I'm in there for the long term. You know, let's go get a bunch more kids and run into the enemy machine gun. We'll give them a medal. We'll send their mom a flag. Say, great job. You made the war industrial complex billions of dollars. Thanks, guys, for wasting all your blood, your lives. That's what this country's done. Restore America to what? To deception, to lies. People want to say, well, this isn't constitutional, what they're doing. Wait a minute. The U.S. Supreme Court has said that everything that's going on is constitutional. Enjoy it. Just because you don't agree it's constitutional, you don't have any authority. Read the Constitution. Only the U.S. Supreme Court gets to say what's constitutional. I think that's a good deal. No, I don't. I think it's terrible. I think right on the face, right there, that right there, there is no separation of powers. Congress does something. President does something. The U.S. Supreme Court doesn't like. Guess what? They overrule them. How about California? They vote to get rid of queer marriages. All the people vote and say, we want to get rid of queers in the marriage contract. Some Canaanite judge says, ah. This 14th Amendment, that, you know, they get to do anything that we say they want to do, including Vaselining each other's rear orifice. Doesn't that make you just really happy? Welcome to America. Let's restore America. To what? Glittering generalities. I've actually got Tim Turner's seminar stuff. He's a nincompoop. His heritage, if spoken of by the peoples of America, of North America, which is an insult to call them an Indian, they will tell you that the tribe that he claims to be from is one of the most intra-mixed tribes. There are some wholesome people of the North American tribes that say that particular tribe that some people laud about Tim Turner, that they would fornicate with dogs. I suggest Tim Turner is fornicating with everybody's rear orifice about his Restore America, and he's conning people. They won't even ask, restore him to what? Oh, my God, this sounds great. Yeah, Tim Turner wants to set up his elitist to run the operation. All right, I want us to move on. I want to move to Enoch, chapter 89, verse 27. I saw, too, that a large sword was given to the sheep who went forth against all the beasts of the field to slay them. Wow! This is like the latter days, if you, you know, get into the book of Enoch. Swords given to slay these beasts of the field, to slay them. How about that? Verse 43, and I saw that they laid down the sword which had been given to the sheep, and it returned to his house, sealing it up in the presence of the Lord. Wow, how about that? They get a sword, they apparently use it for about 20-some verses, then it gets taken back. I wonder what that sword is. Golly, wonder if that's the Ark of the Covenant. I'm just speculating. Now we take a look in Enoch chapter 92, verse 13. Afterwards there shall be another week, the eighth of righteous, to which shall be given a sword to execute judgment and justice upon all oppressors. Three different times I pointed out to you that we got a sword coming. But you know what? As long as we're twiddling our thumbs and we haven't got the balls to pick up our cross and speak to our brothers and sisters that might be our brothers and sisters at worst, we got to give them all a chance. You really do. You got to talk to all of them and say, hey, you might be my brother. You might be my sister. You're doing this wrong. Here's the information. You must warn the wicked. Read Ezekiel chapter 33. If you warn the wicked and they don't listen, then their blood won't be on your hand. Nonetheless, thou hast saved your soul. Point out to me another place other than losing your life for the Christ where you save your soul. And that's what it's about. Because if you don't want to get to the supper, then don't be listening to the gathering offering. Go do play foosball. Play Pac-Man. Listen to the feel-good Restore America boys. Restore America to what? When has it ever been worth a damn? We've been deluded all of our lives. When in any 10-year period of time, when you go back and study it, do you not find the people always saying, we got to get new congressmen. We, you know, this is terrible what they're doing. Another bank, another law, always. Always. They're always complaining. It's rotten. Now, those, the people that like to just mooch, the eaters, the non-producers, they're always in favor of that stuff because that means something for them. They get something. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Repeat. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You love life, you're going to get out there and you're going to speak. And you're going to warn your brothers and sisters. You love death, you're going to shut your mouth and go along to get along. Oh, they may come get me. They may do this. They may do that. And you sit there and worry, and you know, you worry till your orifice is, your rear orifice is drooling. Wake up, ladies and gentlemen. Last week I told you about somebody that was trying, a polite gentleman that was trying to give me a little warning about something. And it really doesn't mean too much, but I'm going to tell you this past weekend I conveyed for the first time to two other states. I went through Tennessee and Mississippi. Not a whole long time. It's like 20, 25 minutes in Tennessee and maybe 35, 40 minutes in Mississippi each way. But I had never done that. Now, that doesn't prove anything from any legal point of view because no particular police officer got right behind me and decided to do a tag check or a license check. I just eased on down the road, going exactly the speed limit. Didn't wear a seat belt. Didn't wear a lap belt. I don't have a lap belt in any of my units. I took the one that goes across your chest. I got the one that goes across your waist. And the only time I'd ever use that is if I was in a, maybe like a high speed pursuit or something of that nature after somebody and I had to get him something. Hold me in the seat for that part. Comes to an accident. Quite frankly, I'd rather go bouncing around than have that seat belt bust my chest or bust my hips. Or any of the other things I've seen that happen to a lot of people. But for me, little old me, Jerry Kirk, I actually did something I haven't done. Went all the way down the length of Arkansas, you know, and eased through Little Rock and on through Memphis. And I had talked to a few people, and they said, oh, man, you're going to be going through West Memphis and everything. Well, you know, apparently the scanners that they have along the side of the road didn't want to pick up my unit. So didn't prove anything, but it made me, it was just something that, you know, with timing, I said to a few people I talked to, I said, I don't give a rat's toenail. I'm not going to allow even a good cop who's trying to give me a warning and trying to protect me, I'm not going to allow that to intimidate me. And I shall not. And I speak my mind for the Christ. I speak my mind for the Father's laws. And I condemn myself to either death or life through the power of my tongue. And I offer blessings to the eyes, to those with eyes and ears that want to condemn their life either to the abyss or either to the supper. Because with your mouth, you can't take it back. And when you take your vow before the Father and His only begotten Son, the Christ, you better not do it with a double-mindedness. I offer blessings to those with eyes and ears that want to pick up the adversarial attitude. Jerry Kirk, gathering often. Thank you.
The problem now, of course, is to simply hold your horses. To rush would be a crime. 'Cause nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it every time. Like the man says one more time. Nice and easy does it. Nice.